what I discovered is that every single person has a set of beliefs that most of the time they're not even aware that they have. So they have a set of beliefs, and those beliefs run the show. Those beliefs determine what people do and what they don't do and how they do everything. And a lot of times people's beliefs are not aligned with their goals. They clash with their goals. So when you have a belief that clashes with your goals, what happens? You're unable to achieve the things you want to achieve.
So, Kim, welcome to the Who You Know Show. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, and I just feel so honored. So thank you so much.
It's a pleasure having you. You are a champion. So I want to really just dive in first and foremost and find out about the backstory, right? The background, what led you to establish Frame of Mind Coaching? Okay. What established, like, what helped you to get down that, to that journey?
Okay. So I am what one would call a serial entrepreneur. And so before I owned this company, I had a different company. I owned a software company, and we used to build simulation-based assessments. I'm kind of old. So when we were doing that, you know, the technology wasn't as cool as it is now. So we were on the leading edge of this simulation-based concept. And what we were looking for is, how do we know if someone's going to perform well in any kind of role? So how do we differentiate top performers from other people? So we tested really thousands and thousands of people, and we learned a very interesting piece of information about top performers. And we learned what differentiates top performers from other people. We discovered something really interesting. You would think, you know, is it intelligence? Is it experience? Like, what is it? It's neither of those things. The one thing that differentiates top performers from other people is their degree of emotional resilience. What does that mean, really? It's the ability to bounce back from adversity with speed and agility and leverage the adversity somehow.
So wait, let me go back. So you did all this studying on all these top producers, and it was resilience that was the key to the success, the ability to bounce back.
The ability to bounce back from a blow, let's say. We all experience negative things. We all experience rejection, failure, etc., right? We all experience those things. But those people who can get up from those experiences and leverage the negative impact, those are the people who are most likely to succeed at substantially higher levels than others.
Okay, so leverage the negative impact. I love that. Hold on, I'm going to give you a mic drop for that, because I can personally, I'm going to tell you a couple stories, okay? So I'm a top producer, okay? And I remember, okay, so when I was in the auto industry, I remember a specific situation, and this is how I know this, what you're saying is true, okay? So I remember back when I was in the auto industry selling cars, if you got a perfect survey, okay, after you sold the car, you got a perfect survey, all 10s, they would give you $50, okay? And if you got a bad survey, they would take $50, okay? So I remember the first time I got a bad survey, and I was like, what the hell? Like, I was like, oh, hell no, this is messed up. They're taking $50 from me. This is jacked up. Okay. And it was one of those things that it was out of my control too. It was not in my control, that survey that I got. However, what I did is it triggered me to put together a system, and I started to actually sell the survey. Okay. And I started to tell people, hey, anything less than a 10 is failing for me. Okay. It's very, very serious. La 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 la. Like, I had a whole thing. I would literally go over the survey with them. And I had the best SSI score out of anybody, like, in the whole region. And I was getting more surveys than anybody. So it was one of those things where I had a little setback, right? Like you were talking about, little setback. But I leveraged that setback to push me forward. And I made more money on them dang surveys than anybody.
There you go. You figured it out.
It was like, hey, let me put together a system. Let's look at the setback and turn that setback into a set up. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, is something negative happened to you and you're like, okay, that didn't feel so good. I don't want it to happen again, but how do I work with this to turn it into an advantage? And that's exactly what you did.
Absolutely. So that's the thing that really, that's the key that y'all found, the commonality between top performers and top leaders. Well, actually, I don't mean to put that in there. Was that also top leaders or just top performers?
Well, yeah, people who are performing at a substantially higher level. So it could be salespeople, but it's also people perhaps who are running their own companies or C-suite leaders, people who, you know, kind of climb up in their careers. We wanted to figure out, like, what did they have in common? What is it about them that allows them to go further faster? And, you know, one of those aspects from an emotional resilience standpoint is when you fail, you get up faster, you leverage your adversity. But the other piece of that is that when you get knocked down, you don't absorb it so hard. You don't take it in so badly. Like it doesn't, you know, you're able to let it roll off a little bit more easily.
Okay. You know what?
So it's the same thing as getting back up, but it's how you perceive the experience and what you make it mean about you.
So that was the key, right? Is being able to leverage that setback to a set up. Now, talk to me about emotional resilience, because I know that's another topic that, like, what's the difference between emotional resilience?
Emotional resilience and resilience, they're really the same thing. Emotional resilience really relates to something happens that causes an emotional upset. It causes you to feel not good about things, about others, about yourself. It causes like a disturbance on the inside. And the question is, what do we do when we're disturbed on the inside? Some people hold on to that disturbance for dear life, right? They hold on to it and they talk about it and they repeat it and they look back on it. And even if sometimes years have passed, they still hold it up as a key defining moment or as a moment in their lives that they can't let go of, right? It could be a tragedy that happened. It could be a death that happened. It could be a job loss. It could be a marital breakup, whatever it is. But that moment in time is something that that starts to define them. And that's where the trouble happens. So when we're talking about emotional resilience, we're saying, how are you handling the emotional, let's say, upsets, the emotional traumas in your life, and how are you getting past them? And in that sense, too, we want to leverage those experiences.
Okay, so you're saying that there are some people that when they have a trauma or something, okay, some event that happens in their life, they tend to sit in it a little bit longer, right? I think I heard Tim Story say this, and he probably got it from somewhere, who knows, but Tim Story said, when you're going through hell, keep going. Don't pitch a tent in hell. You don't want to stay, okay? And there's a lot of people who, you know, they want to sit in it, right? They want to sit and wallow. And, you know, hey, listen, I get it. When you go through a life situation, like I deal with these job seekers all the time, and, you know, a lot of them work their way up a corporate ladder, and they, let's say they spent 15, 20 years at a certain company. You know, you start to wrap your identity, you know, in that logo. And then all of a sudden they have a big corporate layoff, you get let go. And it's like, it's a blow, right? It's a blow. And it actually comes off as a loss. Like they say, there's the stages of grief that go through it, right? But what you choose to do with that, how long do you sit in that is the question. It's okay to have the feelings. It's okay to feel broken. It's okay to cry. It's okay to throw a fit. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to have all these human emotions. All of that's normal. But how long are you going to do that for? That's the question. Are you going to throw a fit for, you know, a month? Are you going to throw a fit for a year? Are you going to hold that resentment against that old company for the rest of your life? Like, how long are you going to let that, you know, or when are you going to let go of it? And there's a freedom.
Right. When are you going to let go?
There's a freedom in letting go.
Yes. And not only that, when are you going to start to perceive that event as a gift in some
Ooh,
capacity.
That's so good.
Right? When are you going to start to look at that as a new door that just opened for you? Maybe it's not the door you expected. maybe on this side of the door, that looks like a horrible door. But now that you're on the other side, how do you turn that into a gift? How do you turn that into a new experience? Something that's specifically designed for your growth. How do you take that experience and wrap it up as though it's something designed for your benefit?
That is so good. It's so good because you're absolutely right. Like a lot of times your biggest challenges, if you have the right perception, can be your biggest setup. Like we talked about, it's the slingshot. You got to go backwards sometimes in order to fly, right? It's that slingshot. You need resistance, right? And or you got to pull it back and it's probably hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's not, it doesn't feel good for that slingshot. But then all of a sudden you let that thing go. But if it's only if you have the right perception of, like you said, this is for me, right? How can I use this as an opportunity? How can I leverage this? You know, and I promise you there is a positive to it if you're looking for it. But if you're not looking for it and you're just stuck in the victim mentality of, oh, woe is me and my old company did this and that and the other and blah, 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 you're not going to find it. You won't, you seriously will not see the blessing, the literal blessing. Like I've worked with so many people, Kim, that like they got let go and it's crazy that they have life events happening right around them. Like their parents pass away or, you know, and it's almost like God was giving them the gift of time. Like, hey, you wouldn't have had time to take care of your parents, or you wouldn't have had time to take care of this situation or that situation if you were still working at this crazy company that had you chained. So God said, hey, let me unchain you for a minute so you can go deal with this, you know? Anyways, I see it all the time. So I love what you're talking about. I think it's so true. You also talk about journaling.
Yeah. So let me go back, because I never really told you how I got into coaching. So I was this entrepreneur, and I had two partners. One of them was my ex-husband. And when our marriage fell apart, we decided to go separate ways, and I ended up selling off my company, and I got hired by a coaching company here in Toronto. And I lasted there for about 8 months, maybe 8.5 months. Why? Well, I'm an entrepreneur. It's hard for an entrepreneur to go and suddenly work for another company, as you might understand. But the other thing is, I had a chance to observe how they coach. And I decided that they were doing it wrong, that they were missing the boat on coaching. And I felt like I could do a better job. I had a better format for coaching. And really what I was observing is that their coaching model was based on accountability. So they were working with business owners, business leaders, sales professionals, and they were essentially saying, okay, let's create a plan. You want to achieve these goals? Let's create a plan, and let's break that plan down into manageable components. And as your coach, I'm going to hold you accountable to making sure that you get all of these things done on your plan. And in my mind, I thought, these people are business owners, they're salespeople. They can create their own plan. They don't need someone to help them create a plan. The issue is they're not doing what's on the plan. So the question is why? What's holding them back? What's getting in the way of their execution? And from my standpoint, I felt like it's something that's going on in their thinking, right? Something's holding them back. Maybe it's the way they see themselves. Maybe it's their confidence. Maybe it's their belief system. Maybe it's the way that their experiences have created some self-doubt. What is it exactly that's causing the slowdown? And that's what I wanted to learn. So when I started my coaching company, which was right after that, my goal was to understand what is stopping people from achieving their goals. What's going on in their brains that's getting in the way?
What was that common theme that you saw?
Well, the common theme is, like, when you talk about, and we'll talk about journaling in a minute, but what I discovered is that every single person has a set of beliefs that most of the time they're not even aware that they have. So they have a set of beliefs, and those beliefs run the show. Those beliefs determine what people do and what they don't do and how they do everything. And a lot of times people's beliefs are not aligned with their goals. They clash with their goals. So when you have a belief that clashes with your goals, what happens? You're unable to achieve the things you want to achieve.
Can you give me a specific example of that?
Well, let's say you're running a race and you're at the starting line and you look to your neighbor and you see your competitor and you look to your other neighbor and you see your competitor. And in your brain, you're like, wow, they're way better than me. I'm never going to win. Before the gun has shot off, you've already lost. So the things you tell yourself, the beliefs you have, will profoundly impact what you do, how you do what you do, and the results you get. The problem is, it's also subconscious, even unconscious, that you're not aware of the relationship between your thoughts, your beliefs, and the outcomes you're getting.
That's so true. So there's a, and I can't remember the exact time or the mile or the distance, but I remember hearing a story one time about like runners, and they could only do a mile and so fast or something like that. It was like they could only do it within so many minutes or whatever, right? And like forever, it was always that way. Like no one could ever beat this record ever, like for all of time. Until someone did it. And then after that person did it, so many people could do it because it was a belief system like, oh, it can be done.
Exactly, right? That. Exactly that. Yes, 100%. So if you don't believe something can be done, you won't do it.
That's so true.
If you don't believe you have it in you to get it done,
oh,
you won't even
here's
try.
Here's another example. Perfect example. So the first time I experienced this was when I was in the auto industry, first time. I remember it was my very first year, and I had a very rough upbringing and was kind of told I was never going to become nothing in life and was in and out of juvie and stuff like that as a kid. And so this was my first time of being successful, okay? And so I'm in the auto industry. It's my very first year. And I'm like 6 months into the business, and I remember – the assistant manager came over and gave me a pat on the back and he said, hey, good job, man. Keep it going. You're in second place. And I said, what? I'm like 6 months. I'm brand new. Okay. Second place. You gotta be kidding me. And it sparked something. I mean, just the knowing and the belief that I could be number one. And like, I was told I was a screw up. I was told I was nothing in life. And here's all of a sudden, it's like, what? I'm in second place. And I look over at the first place guy and I'm like, and I look in his office and he had been there for like 15 years. Okay. He's got all the trophies and da, 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 da. And I'm like, I'm right behind him. Are you freaking kidding me? And it put me in overdrive. I'm like, I gotta be number one. Like, and there's no stopping me. Once I saw it was possible, and that's happened to me a couple of times, even when I got into financial services, it was the exact same thing. They were like, hey, you're in second place. And I'm like, oh crap, here we go. Overdrive. Like, I can do it. Wow. Just the belief, just knowing that it's possible, it is like, puts me into a whole nother speed. It's insane, actually. So
this is the thing. Knowing something is possible, you have no idea how many beliefs that people have about what's impossible. You know, about what's impossible for them. It's impossible for me to be wealthy. It's impossible for me to be thin. It's impossible for me to find the love of my life. It's impossible for me to have a job that I'm in love with. It's impossible for me to, you know, buy a home or a beautiful car or whatever it is that you want. It's impossible. It's good for other people, but it's not for me. It's impossible for me. And so that impossible belief system creates unconscious blockages that have you losing the game before you're even starting. I'll give you another example. I'm working with a young man who's overweight. And his whole entire life, he was in therapy for 17 years. His whole entire life, he got messages from the therapist, from his family, from people that told him he's a guy who needs instant gratification and he's lazy. So if I tell myself I need instant gratification and I'm lazy, am I going to have any success getting to a healthy weight? No. So when I started working with him, My job wasn't to watch what he was eating. My job wasn't to make him weigh himself on the scale every day to make sure he was doing the right things. My job was to undo all of these messages that he received so that he could see himself in the right light.
That's so good. It's so good. I mean, if you think about it too, yeah, if you're already defeated in your mind, you're not even going to take that extra effort. Okay, like it's going to require a little extra effort sometimes to get a result. And so, like, again, so let's say, for instance, when I was in the auto industry, if I had to stay a little bit later to get that deal, right? Versus if I already knew I was defeated, I'm already getting my butt whooped, you know, like, let's just say I'm in 10th place and I'm looking at it like, there's no way. I'm already defeated. I'm not going to stay later. Right. Like, but if you have that belief, like, yes, I can do this. You're going to do what it takes. You're going to put in the extra effort. And so I think it's the same thing for this guy. Like, you know, he's already defeated himself in his mind. Like, it's like, all right, I'm gonna eat the cake because I'm just fat. Right. You know, like, I'm just going to eat it anyway. He didn't believe that he could change. So, okay, talk to me about that. Were you able to get some good results with this guy?
So it's a work in progress, because when you spend 35 years believing that, you know, you're not capable, believing these things about you, it doesn't take 5 minutes to undo that, because those are deep-seated, hardwired beliefs about oneself.
You know what this gets me thinking about right now? It gets me thinking about... Tell me. Elon Musk and Neuralink. I wonder if they can, it's a computer chip in your brain. I wonder what kind of capabilities could they get in there and like undo that?
Yeah. And we all, every single one of us, nobody is exempt. We all have a certain degree of beliefs inside of our brains that are contradicts the goals and the desires we have. And the problem is we're not conscious of it. We're not aware. So as a coach, my job is to find them and to bring them out and to help us become aware of them and then challenge them and say, is it actually true that you're lazy? Let's look at all the things you've completed. Let's look at all the ways that you've succeeded. Let's look at your relationships and let's see what those people have to say about you too.
So you're kind of like a therapist. Right?
Let's look at your... It's not therapy. It's literally coaching. It's setting someone up for success. It's not telling them they are wrong and broken. Nothing's wrong with anybody. We are just, as we grow old, we soak in, we absorb the messages and the values, the ways of other people, and we take them on as our own. And we're not aware that sometimes those cause problems for us.
Oh, totally. And what you were just talking about, the messaging, okay? The content that you consume, right? Like, it's a big deal. What you're consuming, what you're putting in your head. And, like, we live in a society now where it's, like, 24/7 content. Like, you know, people are addicted to their phones and all that kind of stuff. And I'll admit, like, I'm one of them. I have to consciously make an effort to, like, put the thing down. And it feels good actually to do that. But where I was going with this is I had a situation where sometimes I was getting fed, okay, a certain podcast on my news feed. And it was actually a very toxic podcast. And it was clickbaitish. And it was like I was getting fed it. And you know what? I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. I'm like watching this thing. And I started... my thoughts started to change, like, and what was coming out of my mouth was starting to change. And I'm like, wait a minute. I had to like literally catch myself in this. I'm like, this is not good. This is, hold on. Let me really look at this. And I looked at this podcast. I'm like, this podcast is trash. Okay. I removed it from my feed. I don't want to see it. I blocked it. I'm like, I don't want to see that. It's trash. It's going in and it's coming out and it's turning me into trash. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want to be like that. And I don't agree with that. So I am cutting that off. And so I think it's so important. Like, people do this every day with movies. Like, I don't like scary movies. Want to know why? And horror movies and all that. Because it's just like, why are you putting them. That in your mind? You know? Yeah.
Do you remember when Breaking Bad was really mm-hmm. popular? Yep. Super popular. And everybody was watching it. I'm like, okay, let me see what this craze is about. And I watched 3 seasons. And then after a while, I started to realize, oh my God, every single time I leave, first of all, I don't feel good after I watch this show. There's never a good outcome. It just makes me feel so bad. There's no hope in this thing. I just don't feel good. Right. And so I just stopped, like, just stopped, gave it up. No more Breaking Bad. This is not good for me. It doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah. You got to notice that. You have to notice that. Like, hey, am I consuming this content? How does it make me feel? Right. And just such a good point. And literally look at it like if it was if this was food, right? And you were putting it into your body, is this healthy food? Is this junk food? Right? And maybe it's okay to have a piece of cake every once in a while, everything with moderation. But are you just consuming cake all day long? And that's what I was doing with this podcast. I'm like, this is. And then I looked at myself and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm fat and ugly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not cool. So I'm like, all right, I got to cut that off. I knew where it was coming from.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think.
And that goes with relationships. Not all relationships are healthy. Sometimes we got to cut those out too.
True that. Okay. So let's talk about that for a second. So how do you recommend that somebody does that? Okay, let's say it's someone in their family that's toxic or somebody that they know or whatever. Like, first, if they identify it, right? Hey, this person's not good for me. How do they get that distance? What's a safe way to do that?
Well, first of all, it's a realization. I think, you know, 90% of the problem is a realization. Hey, this isn't healthy for me. This isn't good. Because if you know something's not healthy for you, and you go to the store, something's not healthy for you, you just don't buy it. You don't put it in your cart. And so it's similar to that. You're exposed to someone, that person isn't healthy, don't put them in your cart. Even if you need to be around them for family reasons, you don't necessarily need to go sit beside them and spend an hour of your evening with them. You know, you say hello and that's good enough, right? So don't put these things in your cart. When you realize somebody's toxic, keep your distance. Don't keep consuming them, right? So it's the same concept. And what that means is maybe if there's an invitation, you happen to be busy that day. Maybe if you are together, you know, again, go sit with someone else that is more positive and uplifting for you. Stay away from toxicity.
You have to really limit what you put into your mind, the people you're associating with. You know, that's why I love podcasting so much, because I get to build my network and associate higher. I get to I get my circle, you know, of people that are more and more and more successful, and the people that are doing the things that I want to do and all that kind of stuff. So hanging around with winners, right? You it's only natural that you'll become a winner. You'll start to pick up on the things that you know are the common traits that make them a winner. But if you're hanging out with losers all day long, you're going to be a loser. Like, you will be.
Right. And really, like, over and above winning and losing, it's about how are you spending your life? So the way you feel will define the quality of your life. And so when you're around toxic people and you're not feeling good, when you start to feel negative, when you start to feel critical, when you start to feel like you're going down a rabbit hole of self-doubt, self-pity, whatever any of those things are, that's an indicator that that's not a good way to spend your time. And again, the way you feel determines the quality of your life. And you're feeling bad all the time, that indicates a low quality life. Like, that's not where you want to be. And you want to find a way to change the way you feel. And you start to do that by just looking at your mood. What's your mood like day in and day out? Are you in a good place? Or are you like, do you wake up and you're getting out of bed and you're like, oh, I don't want to start the day. This is terrible, awful, bad, right? Like, how are you in your day? How are you interacting with people? Start to pay attention.
That's really good. So that could be one of the first things you do when you wake up. It's like get some silence, get some quiet time for just a moment. Don't open up that phone and start consuming, right? Just take a moment, pause, reflect, maybe drink a cup of coffee, quiet, water, and just like, how am I feeling right now? Scale of 1 to 10. 10 is like, man, I'm just like on cloud 9. I just, I just won the lottery. Like, yeah, let's go. 1 is like, I hate, I want to go back to sleep because I hate my life so much. Like, what? How are you? Yeah. I don't want to go to work. Oh my God. I got my boss. I got a doctor. Like, how are you feeling? And then, okay, so what?
Yeah. And how are you feeling day in and day out? If you're not feeling good day in and day out, that needs to be addressed.
That's true. So what do you do on a day that you're like, it's a 3? I'm like, ugh. How do we at least elevate, you know, recognize, number one, awareness, right? To recognize my energy level is low. I'm feeling like crap. I don't want to get up today. I don't want to go to work today. Ugh. How do I say, I'm going to do it anyways. Let me get myself up. Let me force myself to a 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. I have some foundational things that I have that ensure that my mood is at a reasonable place. Okay. At all times. And those foundational things are must do's every single day. So number one is I need air. I need to go outside. I need to breathe. I need sunshine. I need air. Number two, I need to move my body. So a walk, weights, something, right? Like, and it doesn't have to be like super rigorous or, you know, it doesn't need to raise my cortisol levels, but I need movement of some kind. Number three, I need music. I need music every day. And I have a song in my head at all times.
What's the song in your head right now?
You don't want to know. On the weekend, we went to see the play Aladdin. Okay. So it's new a whole world, new world. Whole new yeah, and it's driving me crazy. I need to trade it in. So that's the song that's in my head right now.
I
don't know what you're talking
about. I like that song.
I need a new one. And then number four is that I journal every single day. No days off, no weekends, no vacations. I journal every single day.
Tell me about your journaling, because I want to know about that. Like, I've done it in and out, okay? And there's been some times where I know I've been, like, as committed and to your point, like every day, no matter what. I was like that for a long time. I'm not sure what got him in the way. And I noticed that there was a difference for me. I loved it actually. And I need to go back to it. It's something that's a habit I need to go pick back up. But how do you journal? Like for me, it was a prayer journal. I would talk about, you know, it was kind of like I was writing a letter to God, telling him all the things that I'm thankful for, the things that I need in my life, you know, and it was like, it was my way of praying, was writing it out. And what about you? How do you journal?
So we coach executives, leaders, entrepreneurs, that kind of thing. And we ask them to journal every day. And when we ask them to journal every day, we give them a prompt every week and they use that prompt for journaling. So that's what we do professionally. And the journaling with our executive clients, I think, is so powerful, so impactful. It's like truly a game changer in the world of coaching. And I can talk all day and all night about it. But how do I journal? What I do is I use my journal as a tool to move myself into a better frame of mind, into a better headspace. So if something's going down, something's going wrong, what I want to do is either write about what I'm going to do about it to make it better, or I just bring myself, I'm like, okay, I'm dumping out the negative feeling, the negative emotion, the negative experience. I'm releasing it. I'm removing it from my brain and my body. I'm putting it down. And then I'm literally ending my journal with, here's how I want to feel. Here's what I'm grateful for. Here's what's awesome and amazing in my life. You know, whatever it is. And so your journal is a tool to move you to a different state. First of all, it allows you to capture your current state. And then from there, you can take yourself to a new place.
So good. I love that. Okay. So you're saying, you know, the things that are holding you back, or the things that are, you know, in your head at that moment that are like, ugh, right? You're able to get that out and you get it out in a healthy
yeah,
way.
And it's not always ugh, right? It's not always that. Sometimes it's like, you know, the other day my son came over and he brought me flowers, like for no reason. And I'm like, I love that kid. And I, you know, I captured that in my journal. So you're capturing how you feel about things, right? But if you are feeling yucky, if you are having a tough day, if you are experiencing whatever it is, rejection, failure, whatever, write it down, move along.
That's so good, because like I was going to say, so if you're feeling ugh about something, right, it's a healthy way of coping with it instead of talking negative all day long and just like, because, you know, I think it's, you're going to have the thought, okay, but get the thought out. You need to get the thought out, to your point. You got to get it out, but how are you getting it out? This is a better way than doing this, okay? Because they talk about the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so if you're speaking death, okay, out there, probably not the best way to do it, because you start to believe it, okay? Right? Like we said, our thoughts are powerful and our beliefs. So you start saying it, you start hearing it, you start believing it, right? Exactly. But it's another thing to write it down. Like, I think to get it out.
Write it down. And one of the things you want to do is you want to look back at your older journals and say, what is the pattern here? What do I keep talking about? What are the beliefs that I have right now that are really getting in the way of my success? What am I buying into? What am I putting in my cart that is not useful for me? That's actually harmful.
That's good. I saw a clip. I think it was Joe Rogan and Matthew McConaughey. And Matthew McConaughey was talking about that, how he's journaled forever and ever and ever and ever. And
yeah, it's super powerful. Can you imagine journaling where your coach is reading your journal? So you journal every day, your coach reads. Well,
I don't know about that.
Think about it.
You wouldn't get all the rawness. You wouldn't get it all. You'd get the highlight reel. I don't know if I'd always be in there talking about everything.
Oh, you would be if you wanted to get, you know, maximize your coaching experience, right? So you'd be in there. You'd give the good, the bad, the ugly, right? You'd do all of it. But imagine you have a coach who's reading it and starting to pick up your patterns of behavior, your beliefs, and saying, hey, here are the things that are slowing you down. Because it's hard for us to see for ourselves what we are doing. But imagine if there's a coach in there who's like guiding you through the process and saying, hey, like, I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention to what you are saying to yourself. I'm paying attention to your beliefs. And you have these beliefs over here, and these beliefs are seriously slowing you down. They're preventing you from living the life you want to live. They're preventing you from having the job you want to have, the relationship you want to have, the body you want to have. They're getting in your way and you don't even realize they're there.
Okay. So it takes some extra, extra, extra trust and vulnerability to have an open journal with your coach. I think that's,
but even if it's not open, even if you're not trusting, a good coach cracks you open, right? And gets you there anyway.
Okay, so you're saying you don't have to necessarily read it. You're going to get it anyway.
The coach, a really good coach, will read what you have to say and dig and probe and ask questions and get to the heart of the matter. And you're like, wow, this coach is on it.
No, I love that. I'm just saying, like, I'm thinking, you know, journal to me, when I think journal, is a private space. It's a very, very private thing. And so I had never thought about an open journal to a coach. Now I totally see the advantages, what you're saying. I think that's freaking awesome, you know, but I'm just thinking for myself, I'm like, would I, one of two things, would I hide things and not be 100% transparent because I know it's going to be seen? A, would I do that? Two, or would I just be completely vulnerable? It takes a vulnerability and it takes trust. It takes trust.
But let me ask you a question. If you're ready to work with a coach, that means you've been struggling with something and you want help with that thing. If you're ready to hire a coach, you've made a decision to be open with that coach. Otherwise, like, why make the effort? Why spend the money? It makes no sense, right? So if you're ready to work with a coach, if you're like, okay, fine, I'm ready to expose, because I know that that process will get me far further in a much shorter period of time. Then you're going to do it, especially if you have a coach on the other end who's catching you really safely.
No, I love that. I love that. Again, I'm hearing you. I'm thinking, but I guess where I go with it is like on a business level coach, and then also like the personal side, right? So there's no.
But do you think they're different? They're all the same. The business and the personal, they all come from the same source. The way you lead, is related to the way you were parented. The way you lead relates to the way you are as a parent. I hear you.
I'm just saying, I'm thinking of my own journal, and I'm like, I don't know if there are things in there that I would necessarily want my business coach to read or know, right? To me, it's a very, very private, like I said, it's my prayer journal. Like there are things in there that are, you know, it's private, you know what I'm saying? And so I've always looked at a journal as a private. That's why they got locks on them, right? They got locks on them.
Those are called diaries. Okay,
well, a diary, a journal, to me, it's the same thing.
But I invite you to consider the idea.
I'm telling you. I'm listening to you, and I can see the advantages to it. I'm just also putting, hear me when I'm saying the it takes an extra level of vulnerability, or one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to be super vulnerable and it's going to require a high level of trust, or they're going to not be 100% transparent and they won't put everything that's really going on there, what they're really feeling. They'll either hide things or they're going to trust. One or the other is going to happen, right? Do you find people hide things or don't?
I don't. Okay. I don't find people hide things. I also find that, you know, you might start off being cautious, but as the process continues, right? Because what happens? You're journaling every day. I show up every single day. There's nobody who gets to know you this way. Nobody, right? So the more that I'm asking the right questions, the more that I show up, the more that you see that I'm reliable and present, the more you open up. The more you see this person is in my corner, like no matter what. And there's nobody else in the world who's like that.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, it's kind of like I said, I know you said it's different. There's some similarities, though. I'm like, you're like a therapist. You're getting in there. A therapist got to listen to
you. Yeah, we get in there.
You help them. Okay, a therapist, I think, they want to just subscribe your medication. They're like, man.
It's so different from therapy. They're like,
tell me your thoughts, and then they want to give you a pill. Right. No offense to any therapists out there that are listening, tuning in right now. Just kidding. No, I think therapy is good too. I think that all these things are good. And I appreciate like your perspective on this, because it's something I've never actually thought about. Like seriously, when we're talking about journaling, I've always considered journaling, like you said, like a diary. I've always considered it super private, like correct. And to think of a coach inside there on a daily basis is like, that's a new thought for me. And I go, wow. Okay. And I can see the benefits to it.
It's a sacred relationship for sure. You're 100% right about that.
But I think it's cool. Again, it's something I've never thought about. I think that's very, very cool. And I love that you do that inside of your practice, and that your clients, you know, trust you with that. That's a high level of trust. The fact that they do that with you tells a lot about you. And I mean, it says so much. Because it's trust, right?
It's 100%.
And I
look at it like this. You know, we work with clients, but it becomes a lifelong relationship.
That's amazing. So share some success stories with me, okay? Talk to me about some people you've worked with that maybe they came into you and it was like, man, this person needs some.
I'll give you one great story. I love this story. I was introduced to a guy. I was coaching someone and he said, I want you to coach my friend, but I want you to treat him with kid gloves. And I don't know if you can tell, I don't really wear gloves. So I'm like, wow, that's a strange introduction. Why do I need to be so careful? He said, well, he's a good friend of mine. He's in his early 30s and he has stage 4 cancer. And I said, oh, okay. So I got on the phone with him and I said, okay, I have two questions for you. Question number one, how long do you have left to live? And it was a very tough question to ask, because who, right? And he said, well, I don't really know for sure, but I'm guessing I have about a 2-year window. I'm on all these experimental drugs. I think I've outlived my time as it is, but here's what it is. And I said, okay, second question, what do you want help with? How can I help you? What are you looking to achieve as a result of coaching? He said, well, what I really, really want from you is I really need you to help me increase and improve my productivity. And I thought, what? If I had 2 years left to live, would I be focused on my productivity? And I said, why is that important to you? And he said, well, I'm an only child of a single mom. And I want to make sure that I grow my company and I sell my company and that, you know, I leave her with money after I go, because I want to make sure she's in a good place. I said, okay, let me ask you a different question. What do you really, really want more than anything? What do you want? Not what you think you should want, not what your mom wants, but what do you want? And he said, well, what I really want is more time, but I want to grow my business and I want to sell my business and I want to run a marathon and I want to buy a house and I want to have a great relationship and I want to be married. And I'm like, let's work on that. And we started working together. And the first thing I realized is, like, this guy's working so hard and he's exhausted. And in my mind, my job was to reduce his stress so that he could have a better fighting chance with his experimental drugs. I said, okay, we need to talk about hiring people. And he said, I can't afford to hire people. I said, you can't afford not to hire people. Like, your life is at stake here. But what was really going on is he had a belief that said, I can't get this done. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough resources. I said, let's look at that a little bit differently. Let's figure out how you can hire people. And he started to hire people and he started to grow his company. Well, it's like 8 years later. He's still alive, by the way. He's married. He's about to have a child, which is a really big miracle. He bought a house. He sold half his company. He ran a marathon and a triathlon. He took his mom on 2 great vacations. Like, his, you know, he's crushing it. He still had cancer, but he's crushing it. And really, it's about helping him think differently so he can experience the things he wants to have in his life and not thinking that those are not available to him or not accessible.
That's so good. What a great story. So 8 years later, you said?
8 years later.
Two, or he thought two, right? Wow. And I wonder how much the mindset, you know what I'm talking about? Like, how much all of that.
100% of it. 100% is mindset. I mean, he's a really unique guy. He's a phenomenal human being, you know, super courageous, super strong. But at the same time, even the strong people have limiting beliefs that they're unaware of.
I wonder what it is in the brain, okay, that, you know, you have some people who are fighters like that, some people that give up, some people that, like we talked about, the emotional resilience, you're able to take a setback, turn it into a set up. You know, what is it in the brain that's going on that determines whether you fall in one category or another?
I think it's a muscle, to be honest. It's like, you know, in order to have good abs, you need to do sit-ups, right? Or whatever. Yeah, consistently. And so this is the same thing. It's a muscle you build, and you build that muscle with practice. And it's probably one of the flabbiest muscles in the body.
So what you're saying is the people who fall into the victim mentality, let life just kind of take them, you know, they're the, oh, woe is me type of folks, you know, and blame.
It's a habit. Right. They're it's building.
It's the same muscle, right? I mean, it's like they're building that one more than the other. You see what I'm saying?
So yeah, it requires practice. It requires focus, consciousness, awareness. It requires a decision to say, okay, like, this is the most important thing for me to feel okay in my life, for me to feel good.
I think accountability too. I think accountability is something that is super important, because especially when you're going through these scenarios, because you always have something you can do or some part in it that you did do, right? If you're in a life situation, like a career transition or something like that, like you got let go from your company, you know, what was your role in it? Okay. Maybe your boss was a jerk, but How did you react to that? What did you do? You know, like, you were in the situation, so you always have some form of accountability and responsibility. You have a role to play. And then how did you react to it? Okay, maybe you were just completely a victim. And some people are. Some people are victimized, right? You're a complete victim, but how did you react to it? What happened? What did you do? How did you respond?
And if you're a victim right now, does that mean you need to carry that victimization throughout your life? We all have experiences where we are the target or we are the victims. But do we play the role of victim from here on in?
Yeah, because you know what? No one cares. I hate to say it that way, but all that complaining you're doing, okay, which is okay. Like I said, everything in moderation. So if you're feeling that way, you're feeling a certain type of way, get it out of your system as soon as possible.
Well,
but
you're a good example, okay. Right? Right? Like you mentioned you were in juvie when you were a kid. How did you get out of that kind of thinking to bring yourself here? How did you do that?
I had to change my environment. Okay. I was with my mom. Things was not good over there. I had to move. The court forced me to move to my father's, move there over there. And he showed me, again, accountability, responsibility, how to earn and save and work hard. It took some time to work some of that out of me. I had a lot of looseness, but accountability was a big part of it because I was definitely a victim. This is how I speak to this because I was such a victim when I was a kid. It was like, oh, is this fault and that fault? No, it's never, you couldn't tell me nothing. It's never my fault, right? I would always project it. And it wasn't until I started taking accountability and started going, you know what? Okay, I was in all those situations. I was the common thread in all of that. So wonder what I was doing and how could I? This was the way I started looking at it from a different lens. Like, what could I have done differently? How could I have changed this? What could I have done differently? And I think about it. I'm like, okay, you know what? If I would have done this, if I would have done that, if I would have done that, it'd been a completely different scenario.
And that requires like awareness. Mm. And that requires a willingness to say, okay, I own my life. What I'm living is a function of
that's
me.
Good. Hold on. That's good. It's knowing that you have control over your destiny. I think victimhood is like, I have no control. I'm powerless. Everyone else did everything to me. I'm powerless. I'm a victim. It just happened to me. I didn't have any control over any of it. It just happened. And what a horrible place to be in. Like, why would you want to be powerless?
Well, and sometimes we don't have control, but even in situations where we don't have control, we have choice over how to think and how to feel.
You know, it's less about what happens to you and more about how you react to it. You know, if you get some bad news, I mean, you could fly off the rails, right? Which you naturally might want to do that. You get some horrible news, you're like, oh my gosh, you freak out. Or you could like breathe.
Like, right. But even if you freak out, you can freak out, but how long are you going to freak
exactly.
out?
Exactly. How long are we going to do that? And I think it's okay. Like I said, emotions are real. You know, if you're going to cry about it, scream about it, yell about it, whatever, get it out though, get it out of your system and move on. Like, don't sit in it and wallow in it for, you know, who knows? I think it's important when you feel a loss, when something happens to you, to give yourself a timeline to understand, okay, you know what? I'm going to throw a fit for 24 hours or whatever the timeline is. I'm going to act crazy for like a week, okay, because this sucks, but then I'm going to get up. You know, give yourself a timeline. I'm going to get up after a week. You know, you're not going to see me for a week because I'm going to be at home crying. In my pillow, you know, and then I'm gonna get up after a week and move on. Life goes on, right? All right. So you also have a program. I love it because you call it Coach's Corner, and I have a program also called Coach's Corner where I teach job seekers how to, you know, recover their income. But tell me about your Coach's Corner.
So it's called Kim's Coaching Corner because, you know, that sounds good. What we do in Kim's Coaching Corner is for leaders. It's for coaches. It's for people who are in a situation where they want to do a better job coaching others. and they want to learn how to coach more effectively. So we train people in how to coach. And so Kim's Coaching Corner is an event that happens once a month. And we invite people to come to the event for free to try it out and see what it's like to learn, come here with your questions, your challenges, etc. And we talk it through. And there's usually a group of people who come as well and who are interested and may ask you questions. And you walk away with a ton of value and a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at things, particularly coaching. But it's really for people who want to develop their coaching skills.
That's awesome. That's like a, like almost like a mastermind for, you know, for coaches like that want to become exactly. better coaches.
And it doesn't have to be only for a coach, but it could be for a leader who has a team or even a parent who has a bunch of kids and they don't, you know, it could be for anybody.
Yeah, really. No, I love that. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm going to have to come check you out. Okay.
Please come check us out. I would love to
come check you out. Cause you know, I'm a little baby leader. Okay. I'm trying to learn things. Okay. Cause I still got a little bit of that looseness in me. Okay. That needs to be shaken out sometimes.
Maybe you need a coach. A really good one. Maybe I need
a coach that can read my journal.
There you go. How cool would that be? That'd be
so crazy. I'd be like, this line right here, don't worry about that one.
Oh, yeah?
Don't you worry about that one.
That's the one we would like really hone in on.
I bet. You're like, no, let's dive a little bit deeper in this one.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Okay, so one couple more questions I have for you. Working with a lot of leaders, a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners, what's been a common theme or challenge that you've seen that a lot of these high performers, top performers, like what's that common theme that's like, hey, we need to break this? What's that thing that you've seen a lot?
So I see four things that these people typically struggle with. One maybe more commonly than the other, but number one is they feel like all of them feel a sense of isolation. Like they can't really, other people don't relate to them or they don't relate to others. They're in a, you know, kind of like a camp of their own, a league of their own, and it's hard for them. And they carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, all the responsibility, and maybe they have people they can delegate to, but at the end of the day, the buck stops here. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is they have a sense of chronic dissatisfaction. So these are normally high achievers, but they never feel like they've gotten far enough. They never feel like they are where they should be. They're like, yeah, okay, I did this, but it's not enough. It's not good enough. What's next? I can't rest on my laurels. Like, what's next? And so then they're like, I'm behind. I need to catch up. How do I move faster? So they're these people who have chronic dissatisfaction. The third thing, and this is the one that I see the most often, is that they have what's called friction with others. So other people don't move fast enough. They're not aligned. They're not on the same page. They're not rowing in the same direction. These, you know, like other people in their world don't get them. And so they have this sense of like, you know, a sense of disappointment and a sense of like conflict with others. Sometimes that conflict is silent. So they think it, they feel it, they don't speak it. And they live with maybe teammates or employees who are falling short of the delivery goal, etc. But they always are not satisfied with the people in their environment. And it could be personally or professionally. And the last thing is a term I made up called slippage. And what that means is they let important things slip through the cracks. It could be their food, maybe they're drinking too much, they're not exercising, they're not sleeping, they're not having a lot of fun, they're not hanging out with their friends, maybe they're on their phone too much, etc. But they're letting like important life things slip through the cracks.
Dang. Hold up. You know what? You pointing out a lot of things. I think you just got the flashlight on me. Okay. You're like, hey, let me put this flashlight on this kid real quick. Let me shine some light on this kid real quick. I definitely deal with the dissatisfaction. One of the things that my father's always had is this sense of contentment. And I've always looked at him, and he just has this calm, cool, and collected contentment that I've just desired. I'm like, oh, I wish I could have that. But I just have this thing in me, this animal in me that's like wants more, more, more. And like, it's like, ugh, sometimes I need to tell that guy to shut up and just be in the moment. Yeah, like I'm always like, yeah. Yeah, so definitely I understand that one. Sometimes the whole being on an island by yourself, I kind of get that too. Kind of understand that. And friction with others, yeah, I think that's every once in a while. I can get that, right? I'm not everybody's cup of tea, for sure. and I can rub people the wrong way, that's for sure. But I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to be who I am, and the people who don't align with me, they will go away. And the people who do, you know, I'll make an impact in their life. That's the way I look at it. I'm not going to change who I am because of that, but maybe some good coaching would help, you know, Kim, I'm just saying, you put that flashlight on me now.
Yeah. Well, my door is always open. So please step through it anytime you want.
Well, I love this. You also have a podcast. Okay. Tell us more about that, and where can listeners learn more and gain more insights from
you? Yeah. So yeah, it's called the Frame of Mind Coaching Podcast. And, you know, we talk about this kind of thing, but sometimes what we do is we have people who have challenges and we just coach them right there, right on the spot, live and in person, no preparation, no preliminary conversation. They just show up, they share a challenge or a problem, and we coach them right there, right on the spot. And you can find it on our website, frameofmindcoaching.com, but it's also on, you know, all the channels that you would normally go to, iTunes, et cetera, all the places.
How does those, I'm just curious, because you got me thinking, I've been doing podcasting for over 6 years now, and that seems like a cool, like, it would be a cool episode, actually, to coach someone live. So my question to you is, have you seen a difference in the performance of those episodes? Are they received really well by the audience, or do your normal episodes perform better? Or I'm just curious.
It depends on the subject that we're covering. So sometimes subjects really, really resonate with people, and sometimes they don't. So it just depends on the subject. But if I'm going to be honest, I'll tell you where, as a business owner, we're amazing, and where we're not as amazing. We're amazing at coaching. I would say we deliver like the best coaching there is. Like if there's a caliber of coaching, we're at the very, very top end. Where we're not so good is probably in marketing and PR and all that jazz, the podcast. Like, yeah, I do a podcast, but, you know, are we doing the things we need to do to really get it out there? We're weak. So total honesty.
So you
right
need
there.
A podcast coach.
I need a podcast coach or something. I need a podcast person to do something with our podcast.
I love it. I love it. Well, that's really cool. I was curious on that side, because I'm like, I've experimented with some different types of episodes. Like normally I do interviews like this. Sometimes I'll do solo, you know, where I'm talking about a certain topic. I want it to be very, very focused. Okay. Cause these conversations can go down a rabbit hole, right? So sometimes I want a really super focused conversation. And so, I'll do a solo, and I've noticed that those perform really well too, because the audience gets to know me as the host, right? So that's performed well, but I was curious about the coaching side. I think that's a cool concept that I would actually like to explore myself. So thank you for sharing that. That's really, heck yeah. I think that's really cool. Cause, I think the audience get to see you in action. Like, you know what I mean? And they get to see themselves through you. So just as we were talking, I mean, you've been kind of coaching me through this thing right now. So they get to see themselves through you a little bit, right? So very, very cool. Well, Kim, thank you so much for being on this show today and sharing your knowledge and dropping some mics with us today. You've been awesome. Any last parting thoughts, anything you want to make sure the audience understands?
You know what? A couple of things. A, if you want to spend some time with me and just learn a little bit more about our coaching model and how we do things, like reach out, you know, go to frameofmindcoaching.com. Happy to talk to you. But Aside from that, if you are struggling with anything, anything at all, my recommendation is write it down. Write down what you're struggling with. Write down why you're struggling with that thing. Like, just write it down. Like, just express yourself. Let it rip. Don't hold anything back. And then put that thing down for a minute. Go for a walk, have a coffee, come back, and then read it. And ask yourself, what beliefs do I have that are getting in my way? Just ask yourself. And start to understand that the beliefs you have, they run the show. They will determine what you achieve and what you don't achieve. And so start to look at your belief system and ask yourself if your beliefs are aligned with your goals or if perhaps they're taking you in a different direction.
I freaking love it. I'm going to start doing it. I'm not kidding you, Kim. I don't know if you can see it just yet. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to open it up to you, but I'm going to start that.
I'm going to get you there.
I'm going to start that journaling again. Okay. Because it's something that it's been missing and I need to pick it back up. So appreciate you shining some light back on that and helping me remember those little things. Sometimes the little things make all the difference in the world. And so.
And thank you so much for having me on your show. I really, really appreciate it. And it's been wonderful and great. You're awesome.
I appreciate you too. Guys, that's the show. It's all about who you know. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Who You Know Show podcast. My name is Trevor Houston, and if you've enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing wherever you listen and leave us a positive review to help us keep the mics on in the studio. Until next week, that's the show. It's all about who you know.